This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more at allbook-books.com and Substack page. Musings from Between the Lines. Listening and seeing and other senses, but especially, I guess, for this episode, listening and seeing. This was prompted by having gotten new packages of Brazil nuts and raisins. And by the way, the Brazil nuts, if you read the fine print, they are made, this version is made in Bolivia. So, as with writing, editing, proofreading, always check the fine print. And either that's a correction or a stand-up comedy bit right there. Brazil nuts made in Bolivia. But what I noticed was tearing off the opening, and then it's got that like built-in Ziploc thing, and I thought, wow, that's like almost on everything nowadays. It's got this built-in Ziploc thing. I don't know what it's called. I'll call it a package seal. And that got me thinking about all the things that are somewhat ubiquitous. A big word for everywhere, all over the place, which is much of the world. Globalization has done that. That's a whole nother tangent there. But anyway, it got me thinking about the package seals. And then about the other thing I find is very ubiquitous is the beeps. You know, when you're at the supermarket, standing online, somebody's spending $150 in front of you, and you'll hear as the products get scanned one by one, you'll hear the beep. And as they scan the barcode, another ubiquity of things being numbered and labeled and then tracked and warehoused and whatever it is via the gadgets. So the beeps also, I notice in a car, I find them, okay, I guess there's a safety feature, but I find them generally annoying. Like if I get out of my car to go check something, the thing beeps at me to let me know I just got out of the car. So yeah, like I knew that, but I guess the safety feature is, you know, in case I didn't know that. Anyway, so those beeps, and then a new coffee machine I got, which is actually quite nice. It's a Cuisinart. It grinds the coffee beans, and certain times it'll beep, and it'll refuse to stop beeping unless I put a certain piece back in. Like even if I'm trying to clean the piece, it will continually beep, which that's the annoying part. Like, why do I have to do that? But anyway, those are small things, but it's just, to me, it's I don't know, I wonder about the roboticization of society and how these beeps and checkpoints and things are infiltrating general peacefulness. Which that segues to the little green lights on everything. You know, I got a new modem that's got little 5 or 6 little green lights, and you get a gadget, it's got little green light to tell you it's on, and the air purifier's got little green lights that even when the machine is off, they blink. And I am very sensitive to light, especially at night. So I put electrical tape over the green lights. So yeah, that's another thing I got to compensate for. But again, not a big deal in the big picture, but it's those little things. And so somehow tying this in with literature is the power of listening and seeing, the observation, being vigilant, which is a good point, a good starting point for any day, any lifestyle. And certainly I'm a big fan of Sherlock Holmes, and that's his forte, is just paying attention, noticing the obvious, noticing what other people notice but don't think about. And then the other part of that is interpreting. So that gets into some of the translation process of how one interprets these things, and then what form of arts they go into. So whether these observations turn into stand-up comedy, which they could be, turn into societal observation, commentary, satire, whatever they could be, turn into a poem they could be. This week, because I had no poem idea or no essay idea from all that, it turned into this podcast. So it's kind of the lazy way out for me this week, But it's, I find that in the creative process, is again, it's listening to what the idea or the verbiage or where it's coming from, what it is saying to you about what it wants to be. So that's again one of my, I've mentioned this a while back, one of my favorite stories of the Inuit, maybe carver, Inuit carver, some kind of stone or whatever it was that was being carved, and it was like a block, and while beginning to carve it, asking what is it over and over and over and over again, what is it, while carving, what is it, what is it, what is it, what is it, what is it? Ah, it's a polar bear. So this this takes out the in a way the artist trying to overshape things, or the writer trying to steer it in a direction that maybe it's not meant to go. Hence my, one of my favorite self descriptions is I just work here. So, you know, you tell me, is it going to be a poem, is it going to be a story, is it going to be an essay, that kind of thing. And then also the land, as many of the indigenous peoples speak of frequently, the it is being a voice for the land and all the beings. Not just my perspective of writing a poem about trees and, oh, they look this way and that way, but what is the tree? What is the tree showing me? What is the tree teaching me? Like standing by the tree just today, I started looking at the bark very closely, and I just kind of got that message, whether it was from the tree or not, I don't know, but I assume it might have been, or some kind of spirit, I don't know. But so that's now part of my daily exercise, especially in the winter when there's not as much to look at outside, as far as all the bees and the plants growing. It's like, study the tree bark. Study all the little nuances. So if some poem or if some image comes from that, that's possible. I don't know. Someday that may happen. And that will be not just, you know, my creativity, but my listening to the trees and listening to the spirits and listening to the earth and observing and just observing without any agenda, just observing and listening and such like. And one more on the list to turn the some of the social commentary into more of a serious topic is the prevalence of the lithium, the batteries. Now, I had to buy recently a new smoke alarm, carbon monoxide alarm, and normally I would change the AAA batteries every spring and autumn, just probably could last longer, but it was better than, you know, that thing beeping to tell me I need new batteries. So I just change them routinely. But this new one had no batteries, except it's got a lithium battery in it, and it's supposed to last, I think, 10 years. So that's great. That's I save money buying AAAs. That saves that waste. Also, that waste of batteries. But it's got the lithium battery in it, which also is big with the yard tools and with the electric vehicles. And this past summer when I went to buy a weed trimmer, they all, virtually every single one at the big stores, had the lithium batteries in it. So because I actually know some people who at that time were camping out and otherwise working to stop the lithium mining at Thacker Pass in Nevada, I wanted to avoid getting a gadget with the lithium battery. So I did some research. I ended up buying an electric cord trimmer. I had to get a like 50 or 100 foot electric extension cord. So it's a little awkward and it's a little clumsy at times, but I rest easier having done that. Now some of these products, like smoke alarm and some other small products, it might be the fob battery or whatever you put in some gadget, that it seems like there's no choice. That would take further research, but seems like no choice on some of these things. And that is a big issue. Again, that's this insidiousness of how suddenly the whole industrial commercial landscape is just, you know, overtaken by lithium batteries. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, if you follow any any kind of environmental works. I'll mention some other Substackers I read. Their Substacks are worth checking out. Biocentric with Max Wilbert, who's co-author of Bright Green Lies, and Katie Singer, K-A-T-I-E Singer, and Elizabeth Robson. There are a few of the Substacks I subscribe to because they give me information about this stuff. And in short, because obviously there's book and essay lengths on the topic, the lithium mining is destroying habitats and disrespecting the natural world. And that's one in the prime one that I've learned about is in Thacker Pass in Nevada, what the Shoshone Paiute call Pahimaha, which they've already destroyed ancient sacred traditional lands for lithium mining. For I think General Motors is the main sponsor of that, and there's maybe Canadian company, maybe, you know, other things. It's transnational corporations doing that stuff and destroying the habitats and destroying environmental webs with ancient cords of coexistence. I think that's a line from Bruce Coburn's song. So that you and other people, if you so choose, can go to the store and say, wow, look at this nifty lithium battery that I don't have to replace for 10 years. But meanwhile, the whatever's growing in Nevada there, Thacker Pass, that is irreplaceable and has been much of it already destroyed. Maybe that'll grow back. I'm not an earth, a bio earth scientist, but maybe that'll grow back in umpteen thousand years. I don't know. But the point is, as a society, and if we're run by these transnational government, corporate, fascist con jobs of convenience, then we are seeking a bit of convenience and replaceable for the irreplaceable. And that is some serious stuff, and that's beyond the whimsy of package seals, though I'm sure that there is something about probably about the package seals that I don't know about. So again, read the fine print in the creative process and daily life. Always good to read the fine print and find out what's going on. Read other people. Find out, even if you're a poet, read sciencey stuff and read indigenous peoples, not so sciencey, but just as informed or more informed about the land and the habitats. So maybe that some of that filters into your writing, if not your world perspective in helping with protect and preserve our mother, the earth. And you can start with your yard and go outward into your neighborhood and community and however much online or whatever you do to network. Yeah, keep an eye on things and let me know if you notice any other ubiquities that I forgot to mention. There's probably more, but a lot of these ubiquities are top down. They're imposed by the industrial complex. The government industrial complex, you know, puts these things out into the world, like the cell phones now. Yeah, everybody's got one. Like, how do these things happen? I mean, some of them, okay, they're helpful, and they're just part of the fabric of life, and they are allowed to happen. Spiritual, they serve good purposes, but I find it ongoingly fascinating how these things then become ubiquitous, and then how one interprets all that. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Be well.